Yeah, it's a lekker part of the show, and we were discussing the show and developing the show, you know, when we left breakfast and we all decided to have lives. And we said one of the things we need to do is to talk about parenthood. And it's an important thing because beyond all those exteriors that we see, right, all the people who are up in the limelight, and we had Cindy Nell, then the Rajesh, or was it Jack, joined us, and we spoke about, you know, the challenges he's got with his son. His daughter, quite well behaved, but the son sort of, you know, up there trying to figure out life as he's going along, like most of us. But anyway, so we have those type of chats. But it's important to know that everybody is a human being. Anybody with children has got exactly the same problems. Cindy Nell was saying to us, you know, Kino, initially we used to go to the opening of an envelope. We don't do that anymore. If people want us, they'll find us. But we now dedicate our lives to our children. And I can see Vanessa Haywood Sands and Ryan both going, yeah, it's about right. So welcome to both of you, Vanessa, Ryan. Great having you on the show.
Morning. Yeah, really
great.
Good to
awesome.
Be on the show.
Good morning.
So I can tell you a little bit, for example, about Ryan Sands, one of the world's, you know, top ultra distance trail runners, being the first to win all four races in that four desert series. I don't know how you did that, but anyway. And certainly very challenging doing what he does. Vanessa Haywood Sands is an entrepreneur, a blogger, a businesswoman, and most of you probably know her for her acting work, playing the role of Sholto Copley's on-screen wife, hey, in Neil Blomkamp's District 9.
That's right.
All right, you're still scared of cockroaches, are you? No. Anyway, but good to have you both here. I want to start off by talking about where you are in your lives. I've painted the picture, I've painted the history and all of that. Let's talk about where you are as individuals at the moment. So shall we start with Vanessa?
Yeah.
Vanessa, let's start with you.
I don't know if you want to, because it feels like it's all quite chaotic at the moment. I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
But then you're like all of us.
Yeah, we've got like renovations going on at our house at the moment, which is chaos. Everything's covered in dust. I'm a mommy. I'm a businesswoman. This wonderful man here has just employed me. My husband, I'm working for my husband. It's chaos. But it's, yeah, that's like everyone else, like everyone's life.
But this is it, right?
But currently I am full-time mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Still acting, predominantly on TV commercials, still doing a bit of modeling work, which is quite seasonal for me. So
right.
Sort of from October to March, April every year, I'm pretty mm-hmm. busy with that kind of thing. Excuse me.
That's
fighting
fine.
The end of flu.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've recently joined Ryan at the Southern Lodestar Foundation, which he'll tell you more about. He is the CEO. That's very sexy.
Of that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it a lot.
Women love titles, Ryan.
Yeah. So the reason I've been pulled into that is because my background, long before acting, is actually marketing. I studied marketing and I've got my own marketing business.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're busy.
I'm very busy.
By the sounds of it.
Yeah,
wonderful stuff. Ryan, foundation,
yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's the Southern Lodestar Foundation, and I've been involved with them for the last 2 years or so, but kind of on a more formal level now. And for me, it's really important to give back. I think for me, if I look at my early career, kind of sport's given me so much, but also those people that believed in me and right in the beginning, like I wouldn't be here where I am today. So I feel it's important to give back, and I guess living on the continent of Africa, there's obviously a lot of negative stuff, but I think there's so much positive things, and the children are the future, and the Southern Lodestar Foundation, the main focus is setting up feeding schemes, and then also nutritional education, just kind of
brilliant.
Educating kids and also their caregivers on the right nutrition. So that's really exciting, and yeah, it's kind of keeping me busy, but in a good way. And then also still running lots. I've got a project coming up now in Namibia, so that'll have me gone for about 2 weeks. Kind of it's still kind of under wraps a bit, but
it might be more.
Is he under playing it at the moment? Is he?
Oh, it's only 700 kilometers running along the beach. Oh, and there are beach lions. But he says to me, don't worry, they're tagged, so they know where they are. Please do keep in mind, though, that these lions swim in the ocean. I'm not joking. Oh, and he's like, don't worry, love, I'll be gone for 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah. Well.
2 weeks, eh?
Yeah. No, it should be fine. That's why I'm growing a bit of a mullet. So,
so you can look like a lion.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll scare them off.
Oh, just tell me a bit about these lions. Sorry, my ADD is really going to kick in now. Because so we'll get back to the foundation, right? Okay, yes. That's cool. Because I will offer you support for the foundation on awesome. This particular social. Whenever you need stuff, feel free. Pull in.
But thanks so much.
Tell me about this run.
Yeah, so I'm going to be running along the Skeleton Coast, and it sounded like a great idea. And then obviously I start doing all the homework. The distance started creeping up a lot. Like I was suddenly a lot further than what I initially planned. I'm not very good at reading maps. I'm good at dreaming
no, he's
up stupid
terrible.
Ideas. But then, yeah, a big kind of one of the kind of biggest concerns are the like two big prides of lions, which moved into the along the coastline because they're starting to eat the seals. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to kind of run past them. They're like desert lions, but luckily the guy, the fixer on the ground, maybe has given me some quite good information. He said if you do see them, just run into the sea and just swim as far out as you can.
And hold on, they eat seals.
Yeah, they swim, Ryan.
But if I can swim far out, I should be right. And then there's also a couple of hyenas and jackals, but
oh, no.
I think that they should be okay.
You do not like complicating your life. I can definitely hear that chatting to you at the moment. Wonderful stuff. Maybe what we should do is actually, Bruce, while you're drinking your water, we should actually, while he's doing that run, I hope you can have a sat phone.
Yes.
Great. So maybe we stay in touch with you. Let us know how it goes.
Cool.
So we can let everybody know that you're still around and stuff, which is always a good thing.
And please keep in mind that he's doing this in December, because, of course, it's not hot.
No, of course not.
In Namibia, in December, at all. He says to me, no, don't worry, there'll be a lovely coastal breeze. So I was like, okay, that's fine.
Oh, I love it. You guys just make the best couple, by the way. Anyway, back to the foundation, because my ADD is not really all that bad, right? I did remember the foundation, the feeding. Very important because, yes. And Professor Jonathan Janssen's one of those people who constantly says, if you don't have a full tummy, there's no way you can learn, and it affects education.
Yes.
So you must pull him in.
Yeah, no, definitely
we'll,
be great.
We'll make the connection for you.
Okay, awesome.
So let's talk about your boss. How many kids do you have?
One.
One kid.
Max, he's three.
Max, three. So tell us about your boss, please. What can you tell us about Max? We know he arrived 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yes. So tell us a little bit about the dynamics at home and Max.
He is the coolest little kid. I must tell you, though, like, and you'll know this being a parent. I mean, like, there's absolutely nothing in the world that prepares you.
Yeah.
And being a Miss South Africa finalist, studying really hard, training for and taking part in the Absa Cape Epic twice, doing Survivor, I don't think any of that prepares you or challenges you like parenthood does. But none of those events in my life, none of them, have given me as much reward and a warm, fuzzy feeling like my little dude does. Yeah. And he's just the business. And he's at that age now, particularly, where, oh my word, just everything he does is just too cute. I mean, disciplining them is quite challenging. I mean, you'll all laugh at me now, but I'm busy doing like this online parenting course.
It's needed.
Because you're like, I don't know what to do. And you just feel like you're in the dark and, you know, you don't want to be a nasty parent. You want to be a fair but firm parent. And, so I'm kind of in that place right now because he is at a bit of a challenging age where he challenges us. And you're like, do you want to go to your swimming lesson? No. Well, you kind of have to because it's a life skill. You need to learn how to swim. No. So it's like this whole, it's like this constant negotiation process. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, Flip, he's really just, he is honestly the best thing that ever happened to me and brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. No, for sure. Ryan, from your side?
Yeah, it's been a kind of life-changing experience. As Vanessa said, challenging at times, but like wouldn't change it for anything. But yeah, he's getting to an awesome age now where he's kind of super busy. Hopefully he's gonna kind of solve the Stormers rugby problems. He's already 20-odd kgs and he's only 3 years old, so he's quite a big unit. I think his calves are bigger than mine. Just an amazing experience.
Looks like mom's not gonna lie him onto a rugby field. Right.
He's leaning more towards the musical side, which I'm thrilled about. Yeah, I love rugby, don't get me wrong, but The idea of my son playing rugby scares me a bit. Unless he's like a fly half or something, but he won't be because he's a big unit.
Yeah.
So if he wants to play rugby, he's probably going to end up in the bloody front pack.
By the way, so dynamics with parents, right? Now, I've got to admit to this. I am a softie. I am a softie because my wife tries to put Braden, my two-year-old, to bed, and he's gotten onto this thing on TV called Blippi. Right. So I also have...
Did you find
you guys with Blippi too? We found Blippi. And to add to this, I've got Google Home. So, and for my sins, I decided to put a television in the bedroom because sometimes he likes coming in. And we thought, ugh, you got the iPad, right? And now he goes, hey, Google, Blippi. So he tries to switch and he won't let us switch it off. So he won't go to bed at night. I mean, two nights ago, he went to bed at 9, which is, I shouldn't admit to this. But every 20 minutes, da-da, then I come in and I go, oh, my boy, you have to go and sleep. And then I say to Gail, oh, man, give him another 10 minutes. So that's me, the parent, who's the pushover. So what's the dynamic in your home? Are you the pushover, Ryan?
Yeah, I guess so.
Blame us still.
And while we have the silence, we come back. We'll continue chatting to Vanessa Hayward-Sands and Ryan Sands. And it's all about parenting, man. Maybe you want to talk about some of the challenges between yourself and your partner and who does the disciplining, who doesn't. How do you actually get past all of this? I know producer Brad, who's on Wackhead Show, we had this dad chat the other day. He says, no, we're super strict. We run this place like a prison. I said, no, dude, I could never do that. Anyway, it's 11:19. Good morning. Welcome to today. Keno with you all the way through until midday. It is 11:21. A very good morning to you. Maybe we should extend this to an hour. When you have really cool guests like Vanessa Hayward-Sands and Ryan Sands, then maybe you need to extend these half an hours to hours, actually. But they've been chatting to us, parents. They've got a three-year-old, Max, gorgeous, wonderful kid. Ryan, we now know, is the softie. Vanessa tries to, you know, put the foot down, but she tries to be fair at the same time. They also have a wonderful foundation, which we'll talk about in a little bit, some more, because especially your connection, Vanessa, with that foundation, based on what you went through in Survivor. I'd love that story to come through. But first, Roland in Woodstock. How's it, Roland?
How's it, Keno? I cannot believe I'm giving you this advice, and I really hope you're sitting down. The trick to a child going to sleep is leave the radio on in the room.
What?
It works.
You're kidding
me. Keep the radio on, but not the news and nothing political. Otherwise, you'll damage that child for life. But seriously, just something nice and whatever, bit of noise, bit of human contact. It's not so scary. It's a bit lullaby-ish, and that's
use
it.
A radio.
And last thing at night, give them a bottle of rooibos tea and honey, no milk, because then you'll get off nappies earlier.
Rooibos tea and honey, and you get off nappies earlier.
Yeah.
How old's your kid at the moment?
Well, my daughter's 2 with a 0 tomorrow, so she's turning 20.
Oh, so this worked for you. This worked what, 18 years ago?
Yeah, but some things aren't inflation linked. It still works.
Okay, I'm going to give it a try, actually.
We've used white noise in Max's room since the day he was born. So, yeah, that you know what I mean by white noise?
Yes.
He's got a little white noise machine.
Yes. We have that little, it's like a little hippo. And then it's got a little white noise thing on it.
Yeah, it works.
And it works like a charm, actually. Mm. Well, I didn't try it. I'm saying it worked. We normally play the lullaby.
Yeah, well, we do both. We put the lullaby on and the white noise. I don't think you can even hear the lullaby, but anyway.
No, the lullaby does not seem to work anymore. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your connection with the foundation, Feeding Hunger and Survivor.
Yeah, so when I did Survivor, Celebs versus Plebs, I obviously starved, along with all the other contestants. And for the first week, our team kept on losing, so we didn't get any rewards. So we got absolutely zippity-doo-dah food.
I can imagine.
And I promised myself at the time that I would get involved with some sort of feeding scheme or something to do with raising funds when I got back home. And up until now, I haven't had the opportunity to get involved in anything. I believe things should happen organically.
Right.
And this has just been this wonderful opportunity that's come my way that I've grabbed with both hands and feet and arms, because I know firsthand what it's like to starve, and it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
You have absolutely no energy. You're not able to concentrate. It's, you just wither away. Yeah. And I mean, I came back feeling really sad because I thought, like, as an African, there's so many Africans that really that do without food for days at a time, sometimes even weeks at a time, and it's just it should not be happening.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's and a lot of us we live in our bubble, right? Yeah. And unless you actually experience something like that, it took me to I come from Elsie's River originally, and I heard the story about these three kids being shot. And that same night, I tucked Braden into bed, this little two-year-old, and he's cute, and he's got his blanket, and he's comfy, and I know we've got enough security. Good luck for anybody trying to break into the house, for example, touch wood. But and I thought to myself, but what am I doing? What am I doing to give back? And I contacted a whole lot of other people, some of them, you know, part of investment houses, etc. I said, can't we do something, start bursaries, etc., for kids who don't have an opportunity? It's like what you're doing with feeding. It's so important to do a bit of introspection and give back. Really, really is.
I agree.
You both speak quite fondly of Africa, being Africans, this movement. And we are talking about, of course, our kids. And, you know, how we think as parents, how we react to various things as parents filters down to our children as well. So this hashtag I'm staying movement, is it something that any of you have delved into? People, a lot of South Africans going, you know what, it's, yeah, there's a lot of double K middle A happening. And, yeah, it is a challenge, a massive challenge. But a lot of people are saying we're staying and we're encouraging our children to stay. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think obviously, unfortunately, things aren't great, or I guess kind of safety-wise, especially, yeah. I guess having a kid or a child definitely opens your eyes up to kind of what's going on. So yeah, I guess there are those challenges, but I think there are also so many opportunities. And I think if we can all, as you mentioned, like do your part, and it doesn't have to kind of be massive. But I think if everyone takes a step and tries to create that change and be that change, I think we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it's going to take kind of everyone to do that, and like every little community getting together, and kind of, as I say, it doesn't need to be something big. It's just kind of everyone playing a small little role. And I think even for me, like going back to the foundation, I think being a parent, we're lucky enough that kind of can put food on the table for Max. And I guess he's pretty fussy. You got to give him like two or three meals before he kind of decides which one to eat. But it just
you too. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I'm not the only one.
But I think it just made me realize, like, kind of visiting some of the feeding programs and some of the schools, and just like kind of putting myself in those like parents' position where they can't actually send their kids to school in the morning with a meal. It must be like heartbreaking, or just kind of so like debilitating that you can't actually provide for your kids. So I think it's up to us all to make a difference and kind of spread the love and try and kind of create that equality.
Absolutely. I think wonderfully put, Vanessa.
Yeah, I think it's sad that we only do sort of a couple of minutes of, a lot of people only do a couple of minutes once a year on Nelson Mandela Day of something good. I mean, particularly if you're fortunate, I believe that you should try and give something back. And if each and every one of us just did something once a week, something small, it would make a huge difference, and just, I think, start creating this chaos and community within South Africa, because I really want to mention this because it's something that sits heavy on my heart, and that's that the South Africans are angry.
Yes.
They're generally really angry people. Everyone's angry at everybody, and we just need to really start taking a deep breath and letting go of all of that and looking ahead and looking at our future and seeing how we can fix things and work together and have people stop running away. No matter what your culture or what your race, let's all stay here and let's stop being so angry with one another and forget the past and move forward, because that's not going to help you build a future. It's not. And I, for one, am proudly African, and I don't want to leave this country. I don't want to leave this continent. We'd love to be able to stay here, and we're living through tough times.
Yeah, all of us, absolutely.
So my message just to everyone out there is, Flip, please just try and do something cool for somebody else. And once a week if you can. It doesn't matter how small it is.
Absolutely.
Just spread the love.
Absolutely. By the way, if we want to get hold of the foundation, where do we go?
Yeah, so they've got a website, www.southernlodestarfoundation.org.
Southernlodestarfoundation.org. Okay, yes. We'll put that on our, I'll ask the team to put that on our digital assets, as they call it, awesome. Our Twitter and all the rest of it, so we can get people into that. And any other touch points there?
Yeah, and then also we're on Facebook and Instagram, also Southern Lodestar Foundation. I've got some really cool projects coming up with SPA to roll out a whole lot of breakfast programs with them. So, really, really excited.
Well, you've got a partner in us. I can promise you that much.
Awesome.
While I'm behind a microphone, you need any assistance, you get hold of us.
Great, thanks
so
much.
I know it's 11:30, and Jason, you're going to be upset with me, but come on, man. We're having such a lack of time here. When it comes to the future, it's not there yet, right? So 3 years old. But you find yourself in a position where your child might have a passion, right? But the world keeps saying, no, 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 your child's got to do this, got to do that, got to tick this box, got to go to university, etc. So let's say Max is, I don't know, grade 12, whatever. I actually want to go and follow my own passion. Don't really want to go to university right now. I want to go and do a combination of what mom and dad's been doing, for example. What would you say? Are you those parents that would go, no, 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 you need to stick the structured, you know, education thing, go and get the degree and the master's, or first go and live your life and then come back and do a bit of reassessing?
Yeah, I think I'd definitely say go and live your life. I think kind of just my dad is like, or kind of was a really conservative person, and
yeah.
I actually studied quantity surveying, or did my honors in quantity surveying.
Yep.
I can't even say it anymore. but yeah, I worked for a property developer for 2 years, and then kind of the recession started to hit, but I discovered running and wanted to follow my passion. And I told him one day I'm going to quit my job and just take up running full time. And he was like, cool, but you have a plan in place. And I was, I can get by for about 2 or 3 months on sponsorships, and then I'm going to have to make something happen quickly. And
yeah.
I could see his whole face dropped, and it's definitely like everything he was like, he would have said, just kind of, we're going into a recession now, just kind of keep your job, you're doing well there.
Yeah.
And but he kind of allowed me that freedom or encouraged me and became my biggest supporter. So for me,
it's important.
I think it's important to kind of follow your own path.
Absolutely.
I think too many of us kind of get stuck in kind of being boxed in by society and kind of made to kind of follow that path, and I guess we never grow. And also, if you're not passionate about what you do, you're never going to go anywhere.
Absolutely.
If you love what you're doing, it's easy to be successful.
Perfect. Love it. Vanessa, cool. Quick one from you.
Yeah, just quickly. I'd love to be able to encourage his talents and what he loves, because I made the big mistake of not taking a gap year after high school, and I believe that you should be given that time to just explore some things and opportunities and so on. And I'd love to be able to give Max that as well.
I've got no doubt he's in very good hands, having spoken to you two for the last, 30 minutes. But as I would say, Ryan Sands, what a pleasure. And thank you very much for taking some of your time and spending it with us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
We're kind of late.